First off, whenever I do a talk about a scripture, I like to dig into it and we find out what it's all about. So first, I'm going to talk about Mark, the Gospel of Mark. When Mark was written, Mark was the first gospel. There was no Matthew, there was no John, there was no Luke. So you didn't have any Christmas story, you didn't have any line of David stories. It's actually the shortest gospel, and it runs from Jesus' baptism to Jesus' resurrection, and that's it. It's quick and easy, and it moves quickly. In fact, it uses the word immediately a lot. So if you're ever reading the book, pay attention that he uses the word immediately very often. The writer is purported to be a follower of Jesus by the name of John Mark. He was not in the original group. He was a companion of St. Peter. In fact, he wrote the gospel based on his experiences with St. Peter. He was also a companion of Paul and Barnabas. So as we look at today's gospel and what's going on, we say, well, hey, Mark, what's your intention? And we find it in the very first verse. John Mark says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So basically in that, he is telling us that his intention through the whole book, through stories of Jesus, what Jesus says, he wants us to know, and anyone that's listening, that Jesus is the Messiah. But the first person we're introduced today is John the Baptist. And if you notice in the reading, I should have backed up a little bit, but John, he uses Isaiah 40. And he talks about John as being the voice in the wilderness. And what do we see? We see that John is baptizing the people. And I would remind you that these are Jewish people. And Jesus comes as a Jewish person to John. And John doesn't want to baptize him, but Jesus is baptized. So we see that coming out of the water, the skies are torn open, the Spirit descends like a dove, and we hear the voice, "You are my Son, with whom I am well pleased." In that little scene right there, you have Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This is the first mention in the Gospels also of what we call the Holy Trinity. God speaks, Jesus basically listens, and the Spirit asks. So my curiosity led me to wonder, why baptism? You know, you think about the cleansing and whatnot, and we read it about, you know, that's what John did, but why baptism? Where did that come from? What was the history? So if you go back and you look at the Old Testament, you'll see in the Torah that there were rituals that the priests had to go through as far as cleansing before they did their rituals and whatnot. And you also see other rules and laws that are given that the people are given in order to cleanse themselves as a matter of purification. In my reading, I also came upon a ritual, a Jewish ritual. It's called mikvah. I hope I didn't kill that word. But it involves a ritual immersion where they actually immerse the person into the water. It's basically a ritual of Jewish conversion. They did use that a lot during their conversion when people would convert to Judaism. But I found out it's also still practiced today. And people do that, you know, so that they're cleansed, that they're purified in order that they're worthy to stand in front of God or that they are able to speak God's name during prayer, or that they're able to receive the Spirit. This mikvah basically seems to focus more on personal purity. It's involved in this ritual cleansing that I was talking about through water and immersion, so that you can see the association it would have with baptism. For John always talks about immersion as, you know, a cleansing of sins. So it's the mikvah is more about the person. The baptism is more about your sins and your soul. So in relation to immersion and baptism in the Jordan River, writer Wilhelm Brandt wrote that to bathe in the living waters of the Jordan is to become a new creation, a new creature of God. The prophet Ezekiel also wrote about cleansing in the 36th chapter, verses 25 through 26. Ezekiel writes, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be cleaned of all your uncleanliness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. As we reflect on Ezekiel's words and that we shall be cleansed, we also recognize that Jesus, as the Son of God, came, he was human, and he shared our human experience. Yet, we also know that Jesus was without sin. So why would Jesus need to be baptized? Billy Graham wrote that from the time Jesus took human form, Jesus took upon himself all of the sin of humanity. He says, no, Jesus did not need to be baptized. But in taking on all the sin of the world, Jesus felt it necessary to take on a ritual of cleansing. Father Charles Grodin wrote that, no, Jesus did not need to be baptized, but he did so out of love for all. And this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus gave an example to follow, and a symbolic act of cleansing to purify oneself before God. Jesus' baptism wasn't for Jesus, it was for us. We thus see Jesus as the source of our living water. For us, water is life. Water nourishes, cleanses, and refreshes. Life itself is possible only by water. Our spiritual life is possible thus through Jesus, the source of living water. Spiritual relationship is thus possible through Jesus. Because of this water of life, even the most barren, dry, desolate wilderness can produce life through Christ, life that is otherwise absent. Jesus went to the wilderness as the source of such life. But let us consider, why did Jesus have to go to the desert to be tempted? Mark doesn't say why. Mark doesn't even tell us anything about Jesus' experience with Satan. We only know that he was there with the wild beast and the angels tended to him. Perhaps it was part of the human experience that Jesus needed to go through. It's interesting that one minute he's in the water and boom, the next minute he's out in the wilderness. It's as though God had an intention that needed to be done right now. Jesus needed to be in the wilderness. When we consider the idea of wilderness, I think often our inclination is to think of wilderness as a desert, as a dry and lifeless place of danger. Perhaps some of you have been to a desert. I've never been to a desert. Perhaps some of you have been to the wilderness in the Holy Land where Jesus was purported to be. And you have in mind an image of where Jesus actually went. But with that said, we also realize and we recognize that not all wilderness is a desert. Writer Bill Lawrence offers that the wilderness is a place of action. That in the Bible, it's a place where God shows up. Leaders are called. A nation is formed. Where spiritual warfare happens. And as in today's text, a Savior is prepared. In Scripture, wilderness is not only a physical place, but it's also a metaphor for life. The wilderness has been viewed as an escape, as a place of confrontation, as a place of temptation, as a place of conversation and transformation, and a place of trial and experience. Mark tells us that Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted. as we take a minute to reflect on Jesus' experience, do we have any wilderness experiences in our life? What wilderness are you thrust into by chance or otherwise? What temptations do you face? What situations do you face? We all know that our wildernesses can be very challenging and even scary at times. As we seek answers for that which tempts us and misguides us, we are reminded and recognize and embrace that Jesus' life is an example of how we should live and follow God. In emulating Christ, we become who God wants us to be. Through the waters of baptism, through the rituals of baptism, we are cleaned and washed. Our wilderness is cleansed. Through Jesus, the living water, our souls are cleansed. Our spirits are refreshed. We become new creations. We are transformed. Jesus is the Messiah who saves us from our wilderness. And Jesus continues to save us in our temptations and in our sins. We thank God for Jesus, and we thank God for sacraments, especially baptism, acts instituted by Christ himself that serve to cleanse us and give us new life as we seek to emulate in our lives the examples that Jesus gave us. As we reflect on Mark's text, as we reflect on John the Baptist in baptism, as we wait and hope for the coming of Christ again, and we look at Jesus' upcoming preaching and the miracles that he has given us and will continue to give us, we consider the numerous times in the Old Testament about how many times God took care of his people and they walked away. They turned their back. The people sinned and disregarded God's laws. But in the days of Jesus, that also was happening, wasn't it? Sin was rampant. Disregard for Mosaic law was seemingly a way of life. Greek and Roman paganism was a way of society, even into the Jewish lives and their religion. Such practices led God's people to do ungodly things and unacceptable ways. Today, in 2018, our society is also replete with violence and drugs, abuse, pretty much any sin you can think of. Studies show that participation in church and religious functions in regular ways show that people are in the 30 percentile. That means between 35 and 40% people are either going to church or involved in some sort of church activities. And what does that say? People are less and less embracing the community of Christ. They seem to be looking for truth and purpose and participating in activities outside of the body of Christ. I know that one of the papers that I did a study, and back in 1957, which some of you may remember, 95% of the people were in church or involved in church activities. 95%. The church was the center of communal activity. That's quite a change. But we know that regardless of our choices and regardless of the wilderness that we venture into, God's grace abounds for us. In Jesus' time, we see that God truly loves his children. God wants relationship with his children. God loves his children so much that he sends Jesus. God is looking to redeem the world, to redeem humankind by sending Jesus. After John is arrested, Jesus begins his public ministry. We see him preaching the good news and offering signs of God's love through his miracles and his what we would call exorcisms. In 2018, Jesus continues to save us through our good news. Jesus offers us love and forgiveness. God's word provides us hope and guidance. Kind acts of love and interventions of love by God's people are two examples of God's grace that might be in action. We recognize Jesus in and through baptism. We are transformed and we become the body of Christ. As the body of Christ, we share God's love through our lives together. And now I'm borrowing from your mission statement. As the body of Christ, we seek to share God's love through our mission of church, as we preach and teach the word of God, and as we spread the gospel of love and joy to the world as the body of Christ. I added the last part. From the UCC Book of Worship, in the sacrament of baptism, we are united in Jesus Christ and given part in Christ's ministry of reconciliation. May our commitments be firm and our lives be a testament of our love and dedication to Jesus and to one another. And may our community of faith as the body of Christ continue to be an instrument of peace, love, charity, and reconciliation for all those in need. I'm not sure how many of you were there, but last year at the association meeting, we had a little ritual, and we had a bowl of water, and someone that had been to the Holy Land brought back two vials of water from the Jordan. And what we did was there were rocks in the bottom of the bowl. And I don't remember if those rocks were from the Jordan as well, but they took the water from the Jordan and they mixed it with the water from St. Mary's. And what we had was we had an experience of the Jordan. We had an experience of where Jesus was baptized. And we were invited to come up and we were invited to dip your hand in the water, whatever you wanted to do, and to take a rock. What I did was, here's a bowl of water, and I took my rock from that experience, and it was from the Jordan River experience. And I invite you today, when we get ready to leave, to come forward and to just touch the water and do whatever touches your heart to cleanse you and to renew you in the waters of the Jordan. As we leave this place of worship today, as a sign of remembering God's grace alive in our hearts and our lives, through the waters of life and baptism, may God bless us and protect us through these waters of renewal and cleansing. Amen.